Joining us now, he hails from city of Gadsden. He represents those members of Etowah County in the Alabama legislature. State Representative Craig Lipscomb joins us on the program. Representative, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for making time for us. We really do appreciate it. I wanted to get you on, and this has been kind of something I've been really interested in. It's not a popular subject at all, but I think it warrants some discussion is the structure that you guys could meet in at the State House there on Union Street in Montgomery, fraught with all kinds of problems, been that way for years and years and years, became a political hot potato earlier this year when they were talking about CARES Act funding. But from your point of view, you know, is it a fair statement to say something ought to be done to fix that situation?
Yeah, yes. I'm going to give you simple answers. I'm not going to try to tap dance around the issue here because, you know, I'm going to talk to you today as not so much as a legislator, but more so as my given profession, which is an architect. And, you know, that building that is currently the State House is one of six concrete buildings in Birmingham or in Montgomery. And they were all kind of built around the same time. I think actually that building was originally the highway department. It was built somewhere around 1963. So it's knocking on 60 years old now. In the early 80s, around 1984, they relocated the highway department elsewhere. And they temporarily put all the legislators in that building because the intention was to physically connect to the Capitol a brand new structure to house the House and the Senate and LSA and all of those other functions that are associated with it. Because previously, all of your representation was located in the Capitol. And if you've ever been in the Capitol, you can imagine that was, I can't even begin to imagine how in the world that worked, because there's just not enough room for, you know, a couple of hundred extra people to reside in there. So they needed a new building, and constitutionally it had to be physically attached to the Capitol. And so at the time, the intention was to put them in that old highway department building. And meanwhile, they'd go ahead and get some architectural work done. They would design a new state house that reasonably matched the aesthetics of the Capitol, and they would interconnect those two, probably close down the street in between the two buildings, and then probably take down. I would imagine the intent was to demolish that building, because even back then it was in pretty poor shape, and it's even in worse shape now.
Well, you know, and there's mold and it leaks, and periodically you hear about a fire or something. I believe there was a movement to condemn the building at one point. I mean, and the reason I guess this is important, that the legislature, albeit not popular to build you guys some kind of Taj Mahal structure, you still got to do the work of the constitutional duties and maintain that balance of power, which is proven difficult during this pandemic.
Yeah, you're right. We don't need a Taj Mahal. We just simply need a safe, functional, and economic structure to reside in. Because you've got to understand that, you know, that building being concrete, and I'm going to speak a little architecture here. You know, concrete is porous, and it inherently wicks in moisture. And so what's happening is that envelope that the building has, that moisture is getting into it, and it's not getting back out. And and that's exacerbated by the fact that you've got a heating and cooling system in there that's rather dated, inefficient. It's not moving enough fresh air into the building, et cetera. And so that mold just continues to grow within the wall cavities of the building. And so henceforth, you've got everybody who resides in there on a regular basis. We're talking about all the staffers, everybody who is in there aside from the legislative body, who stays there year long, they have constant sinus issues. And there's a lot of them who have had to have sinus surgeries. And I know of one or two people who have had to have numerous sinus surgeries. And it's purely based upon the environmental conditions of that building. And had this been anything other than a governmental building, I have no doubt that they would have been sued by now. Because, I mean, you just, well, where in the world do you encounter that? You just, that's an anomaly these days.
Well, and I'm surprised maybe some of the lower level staff won't, or hasn't, but maybe won't in the future sue. But you hear all these stories and just all the problems of it. And, you know, you leave a glass of or a cup of water sitting in somebody's cubicle there, and there's stuff growing in it the next day that it's really, you know, it's a very bizarre circumstance. But if this were to be, it's something that could happen someday. Is there a way to assign a price tag, or how do you even get started going down that route to get to even have a discussion about what it would take to get some kind of new facility?
So from an architectural perspective, what you have to do is you have to start with a program. And a program is kind of like a checklist of the kind of spaces that you need within a building. It kind of tells you that you need rooms for X, Y, and Z, and those rooms need to be a particular size or have particular features to suit the needs of the individual who's going to be occupying that space. Once you've created that program, now you've got a set of guidelines to go by so that in the early phases of design, you can begin to estimate how much square footage you're dealing with. You can begin to estimate the amount of circulatory space, both horizontal and vertical, the quantity of rooms, the size of rooms, all that kind of stuff. And that would be the first step, basically taking an analysis of what do we need out of a structure to facilitate the legislative needs of the state of Alabama. And once you've put that down on paper, you can get some ballpark ideas of where you're heading as far as the cost of construction is concerned, because you can apply some rule of thumb square foot cost to it. And I don't know what those would be. We're certainly not going to be spending RSA kind of money. You know, you've seen those buildings downtown. They're very fine buildings with really nice finishes, and I don't think that's what we're looking for. But it's definitely not going to be a cheap structure. But I think I can tell you this without too much hesitation. When you're dealing with an existing building that's nearly 60 years old, it's highly inefficient. I don't know how many millions of dollars we must put into the cost of maintenance and utilities, just due to the fact that it's poorly insulated, due to the fact that they're having to do constant renovations and whatnot. And when you're in a situation like that where you're basically tossing money out the window, why would you not have a fresh new structure that's doing everything that you would want it to do? It's kind of like when you see school districts who are consolidating their school buildings now. You get half a dozen pretty dilapidated buildings. They stick them all in one big nice one and save tons of money. It's very much the same situation, because the State House has a sister building right across the parking lot, which is the Folsom Administration Building, and they're almost identical if you look at them. They might even be exactly the same building, but I have to imagine that building's probably pretty dilapidated too, even though I've not really been in it that much. I would tend to think it would be reasonable to take down both buildings and consolidate them into one. So there's a lot of options, I think, somewhere down the road for someone to consider.
Well, where might you put said building or said structure, right? Would you find a new site, or is it feasible that you could find a way to do it right there, like you said? This would be a years long, several years long process.
Oh, yeah. I think you're probably talking about a year to design it, roughly, and probably about a year and a half to 2 years to construct it. So I would estimate you're looking at a three-year-long process. What I would advise would happen is, because immediately behind the Capitol, you've got the parking lot, which is in between the State House and the Folsom Building. And that's a pretty broad parking lot. And I would think, without having analyzed it very closely, that it is more than adequate to be a footprint for a potential new structure. So what you would be doing is you would be constructing in that area while still residing in those other two buildings, or at least one of them. And once that construction is complete, I think you demolish the other buildings. They're not good for anybody. I would not put anybody else in those buildings after they're vacated. And when they're taken down to the ground, you turn them into a parking deck or something. Because I think, now I wasn't there at the time, but I understand that the lower level parking that is adjacent to the State House actually flooded one year and caused a whole lot of damage to a lot of vehicles. And so you want to raise that grade up and, you know, get your new parking deck put in to where that wouldn't be a problem in the future.
Joined by State Representative Craig Lipscomb here on the program, also a practicing architect. And I guess it gets down to this, though, the politics of it. We had State Senator Jabbo Wagner on the program. He has been in the Alabama legislature off and on since 1966. He talked about the move from the Capitol building to the Highway Department building across the street in the early 80s and how much better that was but compared to what they had before. But he goes to say the pure politics of it, he cannot see a way where in our lifetime, he says, that it would ever be feasible to get something like that done.
He may not be wrong. I mean, I really don't know. I think what you have to do is you have to truly analyze the situation and look at it from a conservative perspective. And that conservative perspective is, number one, do we protect the health, safety, and welfare of the people who reside within that building? I think that's the most important thing, is protecting people's health. The second thing we have to consider is, can we actually save money by building a new structure? And I think, I really do believe that answer is yes, but I can't say it definitively without investigating it further. Once you've amassed some of that data, you can realistically look at it and present that to whomever you need to present that to, whether it be the general populace or just to the powers that be, and make a truly informed conservative decision that would lead to having a building that would be proud of. Because currently, nobody's proud of that building. I mean, when we have dignitaries come in from out of state, out of country, whatever the case may be, I can't imagine what the people must feel like bringing them into that building. They must be, you know, dropping their heads. I don't feel comfortable bringing in my fourth grade constituents into that building. Not only from the health safety aspect, but just from an aesthetic point of view, I'm not proud of that building at all. It does not look governmental. It does not reflect very well upon the state of Alabama. I mean, Alabama does a lot of good things. We've got great aeronautics in Huntsville. We've got great medicine in Birmingham. We've always got a great football team, but we always seem to fall short somewhere. It's kind of like with the third kid in the family who's getting all the hand-me-downs. When you look across the nation, you look at everybody's state house, and it is a very handsome reflection of what they do. Oftentimes, they design them to reflect what that state is about. And unfortunately, our state house does not reflect anything positive about the state of Alabama.
Well, what you said there about saving money by building new structures, that sounds a lot like the prison proposal, right? Well, you mentioned schools, where if we do have a new facility, then you save money through you don't have the maintenance cost, you don't have anything like that to deal with. I mean, is that at some point that won't be just a theory? It'll have to be true, be it a decade from now or two decades from now. I mean, this is going to be a discussion that's going to have to inevitably, right?
I think a lot of people have been kicking this can down the road over the past 30 plus years, because it is difficult to discuss the topic of doing something for the legislative body. If it were any other agency in Montgomery, we would not hesitate to pull the trigger to fix that problem. But when it's something that we reside in, that's just political suicide to a lot of people from their perspective. And I get that. But the reality of the matter is that we have to consider, again, the health, safety, and welfare of not only the people who are in that building on a daily basis, but everybody who comes into it periodically throughout the session and the rest of the year. And then we also have to, again, consider the economics of just maintaining that building. It just does not make architectural sense to me. And I think if we were to crunch those numbers, we would have a valid argument for doing a very conservative thing in replacing that building. And I don't know for certain if that's the case. I'm not making any promises here, but I am saying that it is something that is very worth looking into.
It's certainly an interesting discussion, and even though it may not be politically popular, I think it's worth having. Representative, we got to get out of here. We're up against a break, but thank you so much for making time for us this morning.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely my pleasure.
Maybe we'll do it again sometime real soon. State Representative Craig Lipscomb on the program.